Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 383 of the Comedy Film Nerds podcast. Back in the garage. ATC has gone down.
It's, you know, it happens sometimes. Technology.
We got the call from Aaron.
We got a harried call from Aaron.
Harried call from Aaron 45 minutes ago saying the studio is under siege.
Yes. And, by the Muppets.
By the Muppets. And we can't use it. So
we are back in the garage. We're doing it old school.
Old school. Mm-hmm. Just turn the air off.
Yep.
It's going to get hot and weird in here.
Yeah. So buckle up.
Oh, no YouTube clips this week.
Yes.
So there's no camera.
Yeah, because there's no camera, no video. So, but we'll be back next week.
We'll be back next week. So, mm-hmm. Frank Pulaski, you can take the week off, buddy.
Yeah. There you go.
And, so there's no bonus. There's no full video for the Patreon backers. Sorry, all that. Literally 45 minutes before we were going to record, Aaron called us and said the whole studio technically just crashed and we don't know what happens.
But you're still getting a show.
You're still getting a show, kids. The show goes on, goddamn.
Yeah, yeah. Show must go on.
And we're going to bring our guest here. It's
first time guest.
Mm-hmm. A lot of first time guests we've been doing. I've known this gentleman for quite a long time. Stand up comic, has done a million commercials, has been on a million little TV shows, has written, has done exciting stuff.
Yeah, a few things.
And also puts together an amazing beach volleyball game with a bunch of middle-aged men.
That's very true.
That I play
Who books that?
You want to get in? Just as long as you don't take your shirt off, you're more than welcome. Yeah. Strictly shirts only in this league.
And you can't be that good.
Shirts versus shirts?
Yeah, it's a lot of shirts. Shirts versus beards.
Yeah.
It's a lot of stuff. So, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Dennis Gavin.
Hi, everybody. I just want to firstly say I feel very comfortable to be in the garage, so I'm happy we're here.
Good.
Studios make me nervous.
Studios are
there's like suits walking around, studio heads.
ATC, no.
Yeah.
No, it's not like that. It's just Al Madrigal walking around in a sarong.
I know Al.
Yeah, he usually wears a sarong and flip-flops.
Hi, Al. Al, actually, we grew up together. I've known Al since we were in high school.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow.
Up in Northern California, in San Francisco area, he went to high school with a buddy of mine. I was going to TAM High School in Mill Valley. He was in St. Ignatius High School in San Francisco. Mm. And I started doing some stand-up comedy, and he'd come to the shows, and he's like, I want to try that. And this is the advice I gave Al, and it pays off. I said, just do it.
Wow.
There you go.
Nice. And then he did, and now he's really had a nice career for himself. Yes. And he's doing great.
And he owes it all to you.
And I haven't heard from him in months. Yes.
So Dennis Gubbins created Al Madrigal's comedy career.
Nice. I did.
Well done.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. What else you been doing, buddy? What's been going on?
I've been doing a little more stand-up. I don't do a whole lot of stand-up, so I do that monthly show at the West Side Comedy Theater.
I love that place.
You've done it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great show. Every month I've been putting on. And actually, just yesterday, Facebook told me was our 6-year anniversary.
Nice.
Which is pretty crazy.
Congrats.
Yeah, every month to do that. I did it with my friend Carrie Clifford, and then she got pregnant, had a baby, and bailed on me. And then I found another friend named Lauren O'Brien, very funny comedian, and then she got pregnant and bailed on me. So then I just got two dudes to help out.
That's smart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think they're going to get pregnant.
Let's hope they don't get knocked up.
We'll see.
We can see.
But I feel like if there's any women out there having a problem conceiving, they should just become your partner.
They should be
partner. Right, yeah.
Co-producer, yeah. I won't get them pregnant.
Show slash...
They will get pregnant.
Show slash fertility clinic.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
It's pretty good. I was that way for a while with the women I would date. The next person they dated after me, they ended up marrying and having children with, so... I have a pretty good thing about
you're a
that
primer.
Too. I'm a primer.
Good for you, buddy.
Thank you. So, if there are any ladies out there that want to get married really badly, come. We'll go on a few dates, and then
we'll put you in the right direction.
You'll meet the guy.
Break up with me, and then you'll fall in love. Say something like, "Marriage and kids aren't for me," which is a true story, and then within a few months, be married with kids. That's always fun.
Oh, they always they meet you and say, "I don't want to get married, and have kids," and then
this one woman did. Literally said that in the breakup.
They always leave off the last two words with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, what made you think that was what I was looking for? And then within a year, she was married to a guy and pregnant. And I was like, all right, cool.
All right. Well, thanks for lying.
Yeah.
Yes.
So doing that and then to some commercials and trying to write some stuff with a few different people. And that's it.
Cool.
So, yeah.
Well, you got a lot of irons in the fire.
Some irons in some fires. They're not the hottest of fires, and they're not the longest of irons. But they're going all right.
But there's warmth.
There is warmth, indeed. There's smoke. And I like movies. Always have. I've listened to your podcast. I think it's very funny.
Oh, thank you.
I try not to listen to the spoilers unless I've actually seen it, because, you know, It's important not to get things wrong.
Let's get into some movies, as a matter of fact.
All right, what do we want to talk about first?
Let's talk about Logan Lucky.
Logan Lucky.
Now,
Michael Shannon, Matt Damon.
Yep, we're a part of the cast, but both dropped out due to scheduling conflicts.
Good, get
them out. So this is one of those movies, I got to tell you, I was excited to see. I thought the trailer was fun. It really looked like a, you know, Steven Soderbergh I'm a fan of. I love Adam Driver and Daniel Craig, Channing Tatum. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
It just looked like a really fun, light movie. The movie itself never really got there, unfortunately. Yeah. It was a great trailer.
Yeah, I've only seen the trailer.
But when you're watching the movie, you're like, oh, these jokes are few and far between, and most of them are in the trailer. Like, some of the best scenes and sequences are actually, you've seen them in the trailer. Like, there's a lot of stuff that doesn't pay off, there's a lot of stuff that doesn't go anywhere, and there's a lot of jokes that you think, well, that there's some opportunity for more humor there that just completely gets bypassed. Like there's the one hillbilly who's like, you know, I know all the computers. I'm a computer, you know, I know all the Twitters, all of them.
Oh, yeah.
And because they're looking for, it's a heist movie. Right. So they're looking for a computer expert. He never touches a computer through the entire film. I'm like, well, then why do you need a computer?
Not even jokingly, little like, check,
yeah,
got it.
Even like, even
yes,
something.
I love that.
Yeah.
Click, I'm in.
Yeah, it's going to take a minute.
Yeah,
I'm in.
Yeah.
I thought, so
that could have been kind of funny, you know, a hillbilly computer expert, but turns out never got near a computer. And so I don't even know why he was on the team, because that's what they are asking for. We need a computer expert.
Do you think it's because, I mean, I like Steven Soderbergh, but I mean, let's look at what's happened. He did Magic Mike.
Steven Soderbergh did Magic Mike?
He did Magic Mike.
Holy cow, I did not know that.
He did the movie Side Effects, which I thought was interesting. He did Contagion.
And Haywire, he did.
And Haywire.
Haywire was another movie that it was, I thought this would be a really cool action movie with Channing Tatum and, I think, Ronda Rousey, right?
Yeah.
And it never, and Michael Fassbender.
Right.
And it never quite got there. And this is, you know, and I'm a fan of his work. I mean, he's done some really interesting, amazing films.
Yes.
But this one, it was just like, it just felt flat, I guess is the best way to describe it, really. Like when you know, you need better moments than the ones that are just in the trailers. Also, like, he is so good at doing characters.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for whatever reason here, like, we didn't get a good sense of all the characters. Like the big character moments are in the trailer. Like, well, no, there should be a lot more. I want to know more about Adam Driver's character and more about Daniel Craig's character and all this weirdness that what's going on. Like, you know, basically the movie is set up to be like a hillbilly Ocean's 11.
Right.
Which I'm on board. Sounds hilarious and fun. And it felt like a Coen Brothers movie without the Coen Brothers.
Right.
Is really what it felt like.
Well, the thing that's interesting is Rebecca Blunt is the writer, and she has no other credits than this.
This is her. It was a first time script. Yeah, first time screenwriter.
Which everyone deserves to start somewhere, but I wonder if that is this
part
was
of the problem.
Part of the problem. She was trying to jump into something that wasn't.
It's definitely part of it for sure. Like, it really feels like a little like the script could use it, a punched up, a tightening, everything for sure. But also some of the directing was flat too, and it shouldn't have been. Not for someone like for Steven Soderbergh. And also too, I just saw Adam Driver in that movie Patterson, where it was such a unique and interesting character study. Jim Jarmusch's movie.
Oh, I love Jim Jarmusch.
So I'm watching it thinking, well, let me just at least get a taste of that character development, you know, in these characters here, even though obviously they're very different movies, but it never dug deeper. It never got to the point where this is kind of a cool, funny, character driven caper, which is what it was advertised as.
Again, I never saw the film. I saw the preview, and
right.
The preview made me think, I don't think I want to see this film.
Oh, well, so you had the opposite reaction.
Well, it's funny you say that, Dennis. I had a similar reaction because I kind of felt like...
So I'm the only one that got trailer fooled.
Yeah, you did.
You did. I just, it looked like people doing big accents that maybe shouldn't be doing big accents and like really big character stuff. And it was like, it was that same thing of like...
And the trailer actually made me... buy into it,
yeah.
like buy into that world. However, I will say Seth MacFarlane is in the movie, And he is awful. He's doing like a cartoon character.
Oh, I thought you were going to say like awful, because the way you built it up, like, I was expecting him to not do well, and the way you said it was like, oh wait, maybe he, and no, he's still awful.
And it was, I mean, he like they made him up like he's like a NASCAR driver, but they made him up like Doug Henning, this weird curly hair and the
which would
mustache.
Be funny if someone was like,
but it was like, you know, obviously. Since he does so many cartoons, like he's literally playing it as a cartoon character. Yeah. So he, compared to everyone else, he's completely over the top.
Wow.
Like, and that's after seeing like, you know, Daniel Craig doing a giant, you know, Southern accent.
The reaction I had to this trailer was the reaction I had from, I think, Burn After Reading.
Okay. Oh, right.
Where I was like, what Dennis just said. Good actors, but being too big, too over the top, too wacky. Mm-hmm. Not and to where I just went, hey, wouldn't it be funny if Daniel Craig did a hillbilly accent?
Right.
And that's all you had.
Right.
And there wasn't more to it.
Yep.
And that's unfortunately where we kind of went. Now, was it a terrible, unwatchable movie? No. I mean, it wasn't. It was just, it was,
yeah, I'm sure at best,
it had moments. But unfortunately, you saw a lot of them in the trailer. So it was okay. It's like,
but maybe that's
it's
the key.
It's a good plane airplane movie.
Yeah,
it's a good background something. You know, if you're doing something else in the background, or if it's you know, if it's free on cable or whatever.
So it's like Talladega Nights meets Ocean's 11 meets
that's
Junebug
meets Raising Arizona.
Oh yeah,
that's kind of what it was going for. Right. But all those pieces are like, oh, that sounds cool. That sounds cool. That sounds cool. Let's put them all together. And I'm like, oh, but it's not as cool as these other parts that we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
So it's proceed with caution. It's okay. It's not as good.
Has
entertaining moments. But like I said, you saw a lot of them in the trailer.
Lower your expectations.
Lower your expectations, and you'll definitely enjoy this movie a little bit more than I did.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's go into now Dunkirk. So I saw it when it came out a couple weeks back, and but now both of you two gentlemen have seen it recently.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And Dennis, what did you think of it?
It blew my mind. I loved it. I saw it on the Supermax, the
IMAX 70 millimeter.
Yeah, no, the XD down in by the airport.
Okay.
Totally on Tightwad Tuesday. If you live on the west side of Los Angeles, it's down there. Howard Hughes at Portland.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
$6 for any movie, and I was like, cool. I went there
on Tuesdays.
On Tuesdays, any movie all day long. But those ones, it was $9 to see, and I saw it on a matinee with a buddy, and we went in, and I knew what to kind of expect. It was beautifully shot, like breathtaking. The visuals of that movie and the sound are what rarely, that's what I remember the most. Like the story and everything was good. The characters were like, okay, I didn't really need much because it was so much action and movement. And it was like, I literally at a few points like looked over at my friend like, oh, like, can we just breathe? There was never a moment of like, everything's chill, which is great. But it wasn't as violent as I thought it might be, and it wasn't as violent as Saving Private Ryan, which I think is a good thing. Like, I thought people were like, oh, I don't want to see it. It's too violent. I said, no. There's a shot in that movie. Can we spoiler alert?
A little, not the ending, but
No, well, but just of the plane. Lose. There's a plane involved. You know this. Of the plane flying was breathtaking. I like... Yeah. I get chills thinking about that shot and just the sound. My friend told me that the sound is going to stay with you. And I was like, yeah, whatever. He's kind of over dramatic. And I saw it. I was like, holy cow, the sound is so well done. I don't know if it'll be best movie, but if it's not best cinematography, best editing, best sound design, best sound,
it's nominations like for sure.
Ridiculous.
It's definitely best sound design.
I really liked it as well. I'm a big Christopher Nolan fan.
Yeah, me too.
And what I found fascinating about this movie was that basically it was an experimental war movie.
Right.
An experimental World War II film. And here's what I also found really interesting is when I first saw the trailer, it was not the full trailer, the teaser, where it just showed all of the troops just kind of looking up.
Yes.
It looked like it had this weird hyper-real, like all this computer-generated effects, like it was going to be some weird hyper-real experience. And it was actually the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
This movie was so grounded, and it had so many practical effects that it put you on the ground with these soldiers, or in the air, or in the sea with them. And it was just breathtaking, like you said, watching it on, you know, saw it in 70 millimeter film.
Oh, beautiful.
And what I really liked about it was just every choice that he made, as far as like what he's showing you. How horrifying, you know, war is. Like, just even when you get on a boat, you're not safe. There's, you know, there's strafing, there's torpedoes.
Well, it starts with the guy having to find a quiet space for himself to relieve himself, right?
Right.
The main kid. And that's what's so crazy is like you can't even take a moment to relieve yourself.
And the gunshots and everything, it's like he intentionally made them loud, but they weren't like overly action movie loud to make it was like, oh no, this is what war sounds like.
Yeah.
Especially World War II with those weapons.
Right.
And you don't see who's shooting at you. That's the other thing. You don't see any Nazis in this movie.
No.
You saw more Nazis in Charlottesville than in this film.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And it like the counterpoint would be I thought of Raiders of the Lost Ark when you just said that. Because seeing that movie as a kid and the sound effects were so great, like the fight by the plane and the gun and everything, the sound was so cool. But to this, it's way more realistic, which I think makes it even more chilling and more impactful.
Everything was grounded.
Yeah.
And I think it was deliberate from the sound to the cinematography to the acting to the effects. And it was, Christopher Nolan... You know, from what we've read, he's a control freak. He's going to control every single aspect of this film. But it has to be. It comes across.
You felt like you were one of these young guys just trying to survive on the beach or the boat or in the air.
Yeah. He put you there with them.
Yeah.
And that idea of like having to wait. Just wait patiently.
Right.
And hope for the best.
And hope another plane doesn't come by.
So, yeah, exactly. Because, I've just meeting you. I've known Graham for a while. But I can tell you like movies.
Yes.
So, my thing with trailers is this. Like, trailers drive me crazy because they show too much. Especially movies I want to see. Like, this next movie we're going to talk about, I didn't watch the whole trailer because I was like, oh, this is something I want to see.
Right.
But wouldn't it have been amazing if the trailer just was... Christopher Nolan's this, and it was that shot of them in the boat. You said the teaser.
Right.
Just show that in the movie theater.
Right.
Just show that. That's enough to make me go like, oh, I want to see that, as opposed to like, then this happens, and that happens. Like, this, these trailers, it's just like,
studio,
I don't have to see it.
The studio marketing departments would have heart attacks.
Yeah, but why? I don't understand that.
But no, it's a good point, though, because the first trailer that came out last year for Dunkirk was 60 seconds long, and it was gripping.
Yeah. And that made me want to see it.
That was it. I saw that in like November, and I went, okay, I'm in.
Yeah.
That's it.
I don't want to see anything else. I don't want to talk about it. I want to see that movie.
Yeah.
So I don't, so that was my big
deal. Dennis, do you like Nolan's movies in general?
Yes. Memento is still like that movie. I must have watched that 10 times. Mm-hmm. Like that one. His Batman movie was maybe the best action movie, mm-hmm. I think. Personally, I don't know what else did he do.
Interstellar.
I don't think I've seen.
Interstellar's really good.
Is that with George Clooney?
No, that's Gravity.
That's Gravity. Interstellar. I think I saw
Matthew McConaughey one where there's like sort of the.
Nope, I never saw that.
And Michael Caine was in that one.
Too. Yeah, was that one good? Is it good?
If you're a Nolan fan, I think you. I
split with Nolan fans on Inception. Everyone loved it, and I was like, it didn't resonate.
Oh, really?
With
I liked Inception.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I smoke weed.
Yeah.
Are we allowed to talk about that?
Are we allowed to talk about that? You know, you live in California, right? It's not a weird thing. No, it's legal, and nobody gives a shit.
I think I saw Inception 2-3 times for that reason alone, to be like, wait, what? I still don't get it.
I do love how people that smoke weed still think it's this secret thing they got keep hidden.
Especially in California. Can I say that?
Are we allowed to say that?
Can you say what? In a place where it's completely legal?
Where I have a card, everybody.
And it's January 1st. It's recreational marijuana is 100% legal.
Unless people get in the way of that. And you know who I'm talking about, Jeffrey Beauregard, Davidson, whatever his fucking name is. But yeah, so his movies are beautiful. So I would think if you haven't seen it and you're listening to this, go see it in the movie theater, please.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, you
do
can.
Not rent it. Do not do that. This is when you spend money and try to find the cheap one like I did.
Yeah.
But like it's worth. I would have paid $11 for that.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it in the Chinese theater where it's like a $25 ticket or something like that.
Right.
And it is...
It's worth it.
That's even without 3D.
It was IMAX, and it was I was gripping the seat the entire film.
Yeah,
it was insane.
That one scene.
It's dialogue light.
Yeah,
it's really it plays with time, timeline. It does all these experimental things, but it does it in a way that you're never really lost on what the filmmaker's trying to show you.
Mm-mm.
So it was. I really enjoyed it as well.
Oh.
All right, so let's talk about the next movie, Wind River. Now, before you get started on seeing this movie, Graham, I have to know, any similarities between Val Kilmer's Thunderheart and this movie?
They both have Graham Greene.
should be six degrees of separation with Graham
Greene.
An
FBI agent coming to solve a murder.
Right. So this is
on an Indian reservation, which is taboo.
This movie is really good. It's Taylor Sheridan writes and directs this, and it's sort of based on some actual things that are happening. The film, you know, it took 40 days to make.
That's it?
They shot it. Yeah, they shot it in Park City, Utah. And then, of course, it premiered at Sundance. And this is, I didn't know this, but this is Taylor Sheridan's final installment of what he calls his thematic American Frontier trilogy. Sicario and Hell or High Water were the first two. So right. It's like, holy shit.
Wow.
And you want to show the grittiness and
spending a lot of time on the plains of this country.
Yeah. And all of these sort of
wow, that's funny.
Underbellies. What the movie, so it's it's so much to process.
I want
to
see it. Yeah, this one. You asked me if I'd seen it. I didn't see it. And like I said, I went to watch the trailer. And about 30 seconds into the trailer, I was like, "Oh no, oh, I want to see this movie."
It's intense. And so what happens? Jeremy Renner is a he works for Fish and Wildlife. He's a tracker. So the movie starts out, you know, and they're in Wyoming. It takes place in, even though they shot it in Utah, it takes place in Wyoming. And, you know, that's part of your job. A bunch of coyotes start eating people's cattle or whatever. You got to go track them and hunt them. And, while he's tracking, he comes across a dead body of a young Native American woman, and he knows her. Mm-hmm. And so Graham Greene is the tribal police. He's the sheriff there. And, you know, there's six cops to cover a reservation the size of Rhode Island, they say.
Right.
And they got to get an FBI, and the only one they can get is Ashley Olsen. Right. Or, excuse me, Elizabeth Olsen.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Only one of the two twin partners. Where's your partner?
Was she believable as an FBI agent?
Well, it was believable in how they portrayed her as what one of the things they were doing in the casting of her was showing how remote this region is and how they don't, nobody gives a shit. So she was like, I flew here from Vegas and I don't have any winter clothes. And they're like, you're the FBI agent they sent. Right, she's like,
does she ever say how long she's been working?
Doesn't seem like she's been working it for the, I mean, you see, she is convincing in terms of, oh, she's an FBI agent. She's been trained, you know, she graduated from Quantico. So that's not easy. It's believable in that she's just like thrust into this situation and doesn't know what the fuck she's in terms of, like, she's an FBI, but she's used to like showing up at a crime scene and there's a whole bunch, there's the state police and, and there's just like this one sheriff and a tracker.
Right.
And she's like,
oh man,
you know, we gotta, and she's like, well, we need to do this and this. And Jeremy Renner's like, actually, no, we need to go follow the tracks because a storm's coming. And if the storm blows over, then there's our evidence. It's gone. Yeah. And she's like, okay, take me there. You know, like, she's doing her best.
Did they get her some Uggs at least?
They did. Well, it's very, I mean, you know, the way, I don't want to spoil too much, but
there's a general store for her to gear up.
Okay. It's not some fucking sitcom. Like,
is there a Native American? Are you guys really that?
Like, how does she find a gear? Like, no one living there would have extra warm stuff.
I wouldn't think so, Graham. I'm trying to get to the bottom.
One pair of Uggs per person.
Yeah, so, yeah, Uggs. A lot of people wearing Uggs, and they're like most brutal.
She pulls out her pink Uggs. Finally, a reason to wear these.
Yes. I just can't get them wet.
It's juicy on them. And no, they don't do any of that stupid crap of like, where's there a Starbucks? Like, she's just like, all right, I know I'm out in the, I was sent here. I'm an FBI agent. This is my job and this is my protocol, but some of this doesn't apply here.
Right.
And what do I do? So it is, for me, it was believable. And it's sort of, I guess, somewhat based on a true story that then Jeremy Renner's like, we got to find what happened and why this woman ran. They're like, where's the nearest law? And she starts, the good thing is she does good. You see that she's a good detective. She's like, well, where's the nearest location? Where did this woman come from? She clearly has been assaulted. So where? And they're like, well, the nearest thing is this camp that's 3 miles away. And then there's this other one that's like 5 miles right. away. And it's like, so this woman ran in the snow for 5 miles. Let's figure out why.
Wow.
And Jeremy Renner, early on, it's shown he's divorced. His wife is Native American. They have a son and they had a daughter that they lost. So that's why there's all this immediate connection, tension between him and his ex-wife. They they couldn't get over the loss of a child. And so that colors this whole investigation, and the investigation is really, it's really compelling and it's really intense and interesting. The ending is,
let's not talk about that.
Yeah. It gets a little crazy, but, it's, you know,
does it involve spirit animals?
No, Captain Stereotype. They don't do this. They don't do a rain dance. They don't.
Is there a sweat lodge?
Yeah, there's a sweat. Sure, Chris. It's all. It's that episode of the Brady Bunch. That's exactly what happens.
Wait, in Hawaii?
Yeah. But like they part of what they do is they're showing this is real life on the reservation.
Mm-hmm.
There's a serious drug problem on the reservation. There's and one of the statistics they go into in this film is, and this is the thing to me, it's like, I want to do a documentary on this. Native American women go missing all the time, and it's the only ethnic group where there's no statistics.
Jesus.
They really? Just don't know.
USA.
Like they just, it just, yeah, exactly. Good and God. It's just like, and you see this, and you
why is that? Why are there no statistics?
Because they're more marginalized than
nobody. They're the most marginalized section of this of this country. Crazy. We came and stole their land, put them on reservations, and gave them their own government and police, and said, "Who gives a shit?" And didn't give them funding.
We gave them dirty blankets before that, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's like
smallpox.
That's why it's like you here. You have six cops for this giant region.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Good luck.
Yeah.
I mean, that's part of this whole. In this specific investigation, Taylor Sheridan is showing, look at how fucking unfair this is and how brutal this is. They're just like, you know, and oh, we got to go to, you know, do you have a forensics team? I mean, yeah, but, you know, kind of, you know, it's just like, it's a lot of that.
We got, so, there's Larry's got a kit.
Yeah. I mean, really, there's like, you so, and how tough it is, and like Jeremy Renner has this great line, you know, some Elizabeth Olsen goes, wow, I guess we got lucky, and he goes, there's no luck out here. He goes, do you think the wolf that gets the unlucky deer? No, the wolf gets the weak one.
Oh, wow.
The weak deer get killed, not the unlucky ones.
Right.
So he's like, there's no luck out here, man. He goes, luck's for the big cities. You know, and it was like, and you see how hard the living is and everything. It's a really fantastic movie. And, you know, I love Taylor Sheridan, and Julia Jones is in there. She plays his ex-wife. She's in Twilight.
I heard Elizabeth Olsen experienced snow blindness while shooting the film too.
Yeah. I mean, you know, she has to like get on the back of a snowmobile, and they're like, well, it's a 30-minute ride on a snowmobile to go up to the top of this ridge to track the, you know, and it's just insane. Right.
Wow.
And so
hopefully your gun doesn't jam.
Yeah.
In the cold.
It's all this stuff. So it's really it's a profound movie. Jeremy Renner. I was just watching these scenes and I'm just like, I've always liked him, but I was like, who the fuck is this guy?
Yeah.
Like he's not really good. He's not like matinee good looking.
No.
He's just an amazing actor, and he's so understated, and he's this.
Well, it's interesting that we're getting all these smaller movies right in August. Like August used to be. No, it's still part of the summer. We're still going to have some big movies, like summer blockbustery stuff, but we haven't been really.
This is an Oscar film.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I think it's interesting that studios are going, well, let's try to shake up instead of dumping everything.
Yeah.
Where there's like 10 Oscar movies a week coming out or whatever in November, let's sprinkle them in late summer.
I like that idea.
And it's great because...
Yeah. Look at Dunkirk.
Dunkirk was fantastic. Dunkirk's an Oscar movie. This is an Oscar movie. And there's a lot of great little smaller parts in here. And it's really...
Well, small world, guys. I actually worked with Jeremy Renner.
Really?
Like
really?
20 years ago or so, like a long time ago, maybe the second commercial I ever did.
Did you tell him he should just do it?
I was like, just do it. Much like Al and much like women who date me then go on to bigger and better things. If you're an actor out there and you want to become really, really famous and you want to become a thing, get me in a commercial with you. No, we did a Coors Light commercial. And you can look it up. It's actually a pretty good spot where it's called Bachelor Party. And he and I were in the stands of a bachelor party and we're ordering beers. And he's like the main dude. And I'm the sidekick guy to the, there's the guy getting married. And then Jeremy's buddy and we're kind of, you know, harassing him and stuff. And then it cuts to me and I say, I told myself I wasn't going to cry like this thing. And we did it. I hung out with him all day. Thought he was a real nice guy. Good dude. Great act. I mean, like literally you could tell him like, oh, this guy's better than everyone here. Like, back then, I was like, oh, he's a good actor. And then a couple years later, I saw him in something. I was like, holy shit, good for him. Then a couple years later, I was like, oh, my God. Then the Hurt Locker and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, you're a movie star. Yeah. You're a movie star. But, yeah, so that was kind of crazy. He's a really good dude. I'm always happy to see him. It's one of those weird connections that I have. But, like, couldn't be happier for the guy. Really, I mean, happy
for him. Yeah, you saw him in little things like 28 Weeks Later.
Yeah.
You know,
he just, was in like
and like
it?
TV shows. Like he would be on a like a CSI or something.
Wasn't he on like a reality show a long time ago too? Like about following around actors, like on Bravo.
Maybe something? Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
Time of your life?
I remember Stephanie Wilder Taylor because she watches all those shows. She's like, no, I remember him from one of those Bravo shows.
I mean, he did a lot of things. He was on Senior Trip. He played Mark Daggs D'Agostino in 1995. You know, it's like he was in the SWAT movie. He was on
SWAT.
You know, he was in Lords of Dogtown.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then it's like, and then you're right. Then it's the Hurt Locker.
Yeah, the Hurt Locker changed.
The
Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford. He doesn't have a huge part in that movie, but that's a really cool movie, and he's very interesting in that. And then it's obviously The Hurt Locker was the movie where they went, oh,
yeah,
right.
That was the thing. And then he was great in The Town, and then all of a sudden he's playing Hawkeye, and there you go.
Yeah.
Big movie star now.
Movie star. But this, the thing that is interesting about this is it sheds some light into life on the reservation as it actually is.
Yeah.
And there's fantastic performances. And I think we're going to see some nominations come out of this film.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
So it's
great. I'd like to see that. I want to see that soon.
All right. So let's we have.
Oh, I'll say this real quick.
Oh, go ahead.
It is worth seeing on the big screen because Taylor Sheridan does some great sweeping landscape of the vastness of, you know. Well, this is actually Utah, but it's supposed to be Wyoming and everything.
Right.
So there is and the intensity of this movie. Because he's hunting.
Yeah.
Yeah, Utah can pass for Wyoming.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there are certain movies.
When you're looking at mountains and snow.
When you guys saw Baby Driver, did Edgar Wright do a little thing before the movie screened, talking about thanking the audience for being there and seeing it on the big screen, how it was intended?
No.
It was kind of weird. It was like this little short that played before I saw that movie.
That's cool.
And I was like, yes, there are certain movies that I totally think need to be seen on the big screen.
Yeah, for sure.
So check it out.
Do it.
So now we have, we're going to talk about Patreon for a little bit. We have our Patreon ad, Frightfully Uninformed, a podcast that watches mostly classic horror movies to figure out horror movie fandom. FrightfullyUninformed.com. That is the $50 Patreon ad tier.
So one of the things you guys get at the Patreon, if you go to patreon.com/comedyfilmnerds, there's a button on our comedyfilmnerds.com. You can get your thing, your company, or whatever you want to support for $50 a month.
Your website.
You can get swag, you can get t-shirts and posters and whatever else. You can just support for as little as $1, $2 a month.
Yep, it all helps.
It all helps. So really appreciate what you guys are doing and how you're supporting the show, and you're helping us grow and do bigger and better things.
Yep, and let's mention we're going to do a very special episode for the Patreon subscribers.
Yes, you're going to get the Neil bonus episode that we do every month.
Yes.
But we're also, Chris and I are just going to talk about our favorite Marvel TV shows, like Netflix.
Yes, we're going to do a free-form episode.
Yeah, we're normally, I know it's not film, but we both love, because The Defenders just came out.
Yes.
And we both just started watching that.
How is it?
On Netflix.
So far, so good.
Okay.
I like it.
All right.
So, yeah, so that'll be on the Patreon, the bonus audio level.
Is that a $10?
I think it's five.
Oh, five.
$5 a month you get bonus. So we're going to give you an extra. You usually get one bonus audio, but now you're gonna get two this month. Mm. How about it? How's that sound?
That's pretty sweet.
Isn't that fantastic?
Sounds pretty good to me.
All right. Let's talk about some trailers.
Let's do it. Now, let's talk about Molly's Game. This is the Jessica Chastain, Aaron Sorkin film.
Based on a true story.
Based on a true story, and it's very Aaron Sorkin-y.
Yeah, I'll be fast talking.
Yep. and you know, a lot of wordplay, word sparring, as it were.
Wordery. Words.
Yeah, Aaron Sorkin wordery.
It's based on Molly, the actual woman, Molly Bloom. It's based on her book. It's based on a true story. She's, you know, Molly Bloom started this high stakes
poker game
with big time celebrities, and the you know, the FBI tags her, and does she give up their names? Does she not? And, and all of the shenanigans involving that. It looks interesting.
It looks good. That was one where I like wanted to stop watching it because I was like, oh, this is a movie I want to see, even though John Malkovich isn't in it playing a Russian. He needs to be in every movie about poker.
I will splash the pot whenever the fuck.
He's eating the Oreos. You have my money? You give me my money? I was like, oh, God.
I just watched Rounders. I could watch that movie. Yeah. There's such great poker lines. Edward Norton was talking to John Turturro. That's right, Kanish. You keep grinding it out. It's noble work you're doing. Anyway, this movie looks fun.
It does. It looks good.
And the next movie is Rememory. This is the Peter Dinklage movie. This, I thought this was an error in the trailer editing when the Google Play logo came up. Turns out it is premiering first on Google Play.
Now, we're discussing this when we were watching the trailer. So is that because the movie's awful, or is this new era of... everyone's looking for exclusive content, so they're like, we're going to spend the money.
Yes.
we've just spent a lot of money on some bad exclusive content.
Yeah, I think the answer is yes. This movie looks awful, and also it is an exclusive to a new platform. So I really think it is, we're getting into content wars, pretty much, but there's only so much good content that's being created. The other thing, too, that I've been reading about is not only are the content creators kind of getting pilfered away from the traditional studios by these streaming companies, it's also the executives. Like, say if you have an executive at Fox, now all of a sudden Netflix, well, we'll pay you more to be an executive over here. They're losing their executive talent, too.
My question is, you know, as I look at my own habits, and not that my own habits are definitive of everybody, obviously, but I'm just like, oh, there's this thing that looks awesome, but you have to get it exclusively on this platform and spend this extra month. I'm like, you know what?
I got Netflix and Amazon.
There's
and
only
TV.
So much that we're going to do. Right.
Like, I feel like everyone has two. They'll have like Hulu and Amazon or Amazon and Netflix.
We have Amazon and Netflix.
There you go.
Yeah, we have our two. But also...
And Amazon's hard to watch movies on, to be... now that I click on that, I paid my money, and now they're saying, oh, you need to download that or pay for it on your computer. Like, I have it through my TV,
right?
And I'm trying to watch a movie, and then it said, go to the website and pay for it. And that...
You might need an
update
or something.
Isn't enough for me to be like, no, I'm not going to do it.
That sounds...
So they lost out on that.
But it's true, because it's like, what they're doing is, they'll have one marquee thing that they think everyone's going to want to see, and then that launches the service. A great example is CBS All Access. Like, they have the new Star Trek show is going to be on there. But is that enough for me to buy an entire new service? Is one show
What else do I need from CBS?
What else am I going to get? Granted, I'll get the back catalog of things, but it's like...
You mean like the first season of Two and a Half Men?
Yeah. if you're lucky.
No, network TV. Network TV have?
So I really think there's going to be at a point where... you know, people aren't going to buy into a new service just from one or two things that they like. They're going to wait until it's available, like either on Amazon or DVD. Because look, when you look at things like, even like we're going to be talking about the Marvel shows later, you know, those eventually, if you don't have Netflix, you can get them on DVDs. You know,
well, the other thing, too, like there's enough good content on Hulu, Amazon, and Netflix to go, I'm good. Why do I need to spend more money on a CBS thing or Google Play, or why?
Or you just wait for it to become into like another medium, like okay, well, I'll get the DVDs, or I'll buy the season a different way.
Well, I remember when I had cable and then I cut it and was like
cord cutter,
and I was like, and Mad Men was still on the air. Mm-hmm. Right. I was like, oh, I'm gonna miss Mad Men. And I go, no, I'm gonna wait 6 months and binge it on Netflix.
Yeah. Yep, that's what I did.
So
And then they even did it like where they were really trying to get your money, because they did Netflix is like, well, yeah, there's the last season, but we're gonna split it up. We're only gonna give you half the season,
that's
and then we'll give it to us to you later. Because come on, I think you'll get frustrated enough that you'll buy it somewhere else.
Yeah.
I waited them out as well. Yeah, I'm like, all right, I can wait.
Shit I can do. Like,
yeah.
So in conclusion, Rememory.
In conclusion, Rememory is a...
Remembering not to watch it.
Remembering not to watch it. And, you know, Peter Dinklage looks like he does a fine job in it, but it's like it's the concept just looks goofy and, you know, everyone seems to be taking it way too seriously.
It looks like that goofy movie that Johnny Depp did a couple years back where they recreated his brain on a computer and Johnny Depp's computer brain went crazy or something.
What was that called? Like Superjacked? It was some term, right? Some computer term.
I remember what movie you're talking about, like, you know, brainwave
not
or something.
Neuromancer.
Paycheck. Tweet it at us at comedyfilmnerds.com. The name Free Jack sounds familiar.
Free Jack City.
I'm looking this up for the love of God.
Wasn't that the Mick Jagger movie? Free Jack.
It's from like the 1987 or something.
So Rememory is somebody creates a machine that you can record memories and then they get killed and he's trying to solve the murder with these weird figurines that he puts on his desk.
It was like a Black Mirror episode.
How did you make figurines that all look like the suspects? That's interesting.
Transcendence.
Nice. Okay.
Close to Free Jack.
Yes. So, all right. So let's get to, you want to get to DVDs and Blu-rays?
Let's do it.
We've got Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
I enjoyed the hell out of it. Yeah, what I don't really like about it, it's about 15, 20 minutes too long. It's a little long, and there were a few too many slow motion movie music video scenes. Whereas, like, I like the soundtrack. I know it. I get what you're doing. But, like, I don't need to see another slow motion of each character going through a slow motion walk and things. But other than that, I really liked it.
Yeah,
I thought Bautista was one of the funniest characters of any movie I've seen in a very long time.
He was really funny.
He was amazingly funny.
I saw this in 3D and was like, wow. As I've said before numerous times on the show, I'm not a huge 3D fan, but the use of 3D for this movie was great.
When that thing went...
Oh, yeah. All of that stuff. So actually those... And probably had I not seen it in 3D, I might have had the same reaction you had, Dennis, of going, oh, it's a little too long. But because those slow-mo things in 3D were so
coming at you,
were so captivating, I was on board with it. But yeah, this is a fun movie. I love the first one. This is a fun film. So
it definitely was. I mean, I definitely liked the first one better, but I still enjoyed this one. Mm-hmm. This was still a fun film for sure. Site Spotlight and the fan feedback. We have the weekly film news, and we'll be getting Neil in person coming up tonight. And that will be released strictly for the Patreon subscribers.
Uh-huh. Two bonuses for the Patreon this week.
What level is Neil at? Is he at the 10 or the 5?
He's the 5.
He's the 5?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Oh, you don't know? Okay.
Step it up, too. Neil.
Yeah.
Come on, Neil.
All right. Whatever it is, it's worth it.
Okay.
So we'll put it that way. So wherever Neil is, he is worth more than your money. He is also been writing the columns on the site. You get them every week, and there's a lot of interesting film news that he puts in there. There's a really interesting notation he put in about Ben Affleck maybe not be doing Batman anymore.
Oh, please.
But coming from the mouth of his brother, like Casey Affleck, like it's almost like secondhand, like we're not really sure. So that's kind of in the rumor mill, like is Ben Affleck done with Batman? I mean, it's funny how he's slowly distancing himself from the character and the movie. Like, originally he was going to star, write, and direct the Batman movie. Then he's like, well, now he's not directing it. Now they're starting with a new script, and now it's like every piece just starts to fall away.
$5 is the bonus audio. $10 is $5 is bonus audio. That's the bonus clip. $10 a month, you get the special episode. So
what was the $50 thing you said?
That's for an ad.
Ad read.
Oh.
You get to do an ad read.
Wow.
So for $5, you get the bonus audio, which is just the two-minute like movie recommendation from a fan. And at the $10 level, you get the actual full bonus. One secret podcast episode a month. This month, you'll get two, plus all the other rules.
I mean, like $5. It's like a dollar, really. You just do it.
Yeah.
Get the tenner.
So it's $10 a month.
Yeah, come on.
So, and you get all the bonus video, too.
Yep, you get the bonus video.
All right, we're trying to make those tiers more valuable for you guys. So, okay, now let's talk about... we got some great feedback on the Twitter feed. I know you guys have been really enjoying the last couple episodes. You guys had some great comments. I want to thank the fans, too. You guys have been really letting me know about Conversations from the Abyss. You guys, that's the scripted podcast that we started, and you guys have been subscribing. You guys have been, make sure you write reviews. We really, that really helps, but I appreciate the love that you've been giving us through Twitter. Thank you so much. The first episode has dropped with Rick Overton and Janet Wilson, called The Devil You Don't Know, about a single mother who tries to sell her soul to the devil. And
two wonderful people. Like, yeah. Literally two wonderful human beings and great actors. And,
yeah. So please subscribe and write reviews so it'll start tracking in iTunes. And I want to thank you guys for the lovely tweets and feedback for the show so far.
Awesome. Thanks for supporting Conversation from the Abyss, guys. And then coming out this week, Birth of the Dragon.
Yeah, this is the movie. Remember the movie we were talking about where it was like, well, what is this? Is this the, some kind of Bruce Lee story? Oh. And then we got the story from Rick Myers where it was nothing like that. It was about like another actor, and Bruce Lee, the character playing Bruce Lee, like is barely in it. Or something. We got some weird backstory from Rick, and we talked about it. It was on the we talked about it on the special Comic-Con podcast.
Yeah.
And it was this crazy backstory where this movie like got buried, and it's not at all what the trailer makes it appear to be. So I don't know what's going on with this movie.
I don't know either. I saw the trailer and I'm just like, I'm trying to figure this film out, but right. I think I'm going to see it anyway because it just has something to do with Bruce Lee.
But that would be right? a cool movie, like to make the behind the scenes movie about making Enter the Dragon.
Yeah.
Or whatever the first one was. Uh-huh.
That would be.
Would be such a cool film.
That'd be a great movie.
Let's write it.
Yes. Yeah.
It's really... So I remember when we saw this trailer, what it is basically... while he's making that movie, there's this classic story of Bruce Lee having to fight an actual dude... Because the masters from China didn't want him teaching Westerners kung fu.
Oh, right.
So he had to fight to defend that. And that's been told several different ways. It was told in the movie Dragon that came out in the 90s.
Yeah.
And this is... yeah. So it's... I think this movie focuses more on that and a little bit about making Enter the Dragon. But it's... it takes place while he was in San Francisco.
Right.
Oh.
So, you know.
Oh, yeah, maybe he meets his wife. See, that's a movie there. Yeah. I've seen that before, right?
So, yeah. And if, Graham, if for some reason you don't get to go see this movie, I'm really curious to hear if the fans have seen it. If you guys email us and let us know how this movie is, because it's kind of a bit of a mystery on this movie. The next movie is The Villainess. Now, this is the movie we also saw at the Kung Fu Movie Extravaganza on at Comic-Con, and we saw the first like 5-10 minutes of it, which was this weird like hardcore Henry first person shooter.
Oh, it's insane! This
POV,
is a Korean filmmaker.
Yeah, shot of just Gil like Jung. Of just like this woman just going and just cleaning house raid style.
Wow.
So, and that's how the movie starts.
Do you see her or no?
At the beginning. You just see her at the end of that sequence.
Yeah, it's from her. It's from her perspective. Right. It's nuts. It looks. Yeah, it's the raid. It's battle royale ish meets the raid or something.
Yeah.
It's insane. So it looks. I'd love to see it.
So it's a very martial arty release weekend.
Big martial art release weekend, guys. Get to your local dojo and check it out.
It's actually a good time too to
get your gi all cleaned up.
Yeah.
Iron your gi, guys, and get out there
to catch up on some of these other movies too. If you haven't, seen Wind River or Dunkirk, you may want to check those out.
Yeah, oh, sure. Please do,
because they're still
see
in
them
the movie
both
theater.
On the
yes.
big screen.
Mm-hmm. Oh man,
on the big screen.
And see Logan Lucky on an airplane.
Well, that's our show, ladies and gentlemen.
Awesome.
Dennis Gubbins working.
Well, I was just going to, I have my top 100 favorite movies of all time. I thought we'd go through those.
Starting at number 100.
You can
More
see
bonus
me.
Content.
I'll be auditioning for commercials probably at 200 South La Brea next week. maybe over in the valley somewhere too. My monthly show, West Side Comedy Theater. Westsidecomedy.com is every second Thursday of the month. Graham's done it. We get some big drop-in people, but we also get a lot of funny people that are on their way up that are really good. Great bar.
The Westside Comedy Theater is a great little
theater.
In general, just go there. Every Thursday night's a different stand-up show, and every Saturday night's a stand-up show, and then they have improv shows. I've done improv there, too. Great shows, really good people, and a great place to learn and study.
Yeah, and it's also, it's right off the promenade, so like you can take the expo line there.
Oh my God, it's crazy. It's right, it's a block, two blocks away.
It's fantastic. So it's really, I love that theater.
Yep, and there's really good beer and wine and good water.
really solid water, guys.
Real nice water there.
Can't go wrong.
And that's it. Yeah, that's it. That's
where
it for me.
Where can people follow you on the Twitter? Do you have a Twitter?
I very rarely Twitter, and I want to change my name. My name used to be at dgubs, which is what is my Instagram, but I changed it for this video game thing I did, and it's Gubtron43, which is my Xbox handle. And I very rarely tweet, and if I do, it's usually directed at our president.
So
which pains me to even say it. Yeah, you can check me out on Facebook and my Instagram.
There you go. All right, guys.
Well, support live comedy.
Support live comedy and Dennis's Xbox handle.
Yes. Friend him on Xbox.
Oh, and then Sundays around 10:30, 11 in Santa Monica playing volleyball with you.
Yeah. Yeah, if you want to see us play volleyball with a bunch of
volleyball is
writers
a
and
comedians. We got to get Andy Kindler out there again. It's a whole different level when he's involved.
I can't wait. Thanks, guys. Obviously,
thank you.
Like and subscribe, especially Conversation from the Abyss. Get that, you know, promote
yes,
that show.
Please do.
And share it on your social media if you like it. Go to the Patreon and support the show and support us in the store. We always say, you know, at least spend $20 a year with us.
Right. I know we have a blackout right now on earbuds because it's coming out on September 12th for the distributor, but there's other stuff to buy in the store for sure. There's the Comedy Film Nerd's Guide to Movies. Uh-huh. There's t-shirts. There's all sorts of other stuff
and
that we have there.
September 12th.
September 12th.
Available.
Everywhere.
iTunes, Google Play, DirecTV.
Oh, really?
Oh, good. Yeah.
Everywhere. Comcast, Time Warner Cable, Amazon, everywhere.
Everywhere. Awesome. So you can get earbuds anywhere starting September 12th, though. So that's going to be really cool.
Right on, guys. Good job.
Thank you. Well, that's our show. Dennis Gubbins, thank you so
thank
much for
you.
Being on. My name is Graham Elwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini. And as always, remember, Han shot first.